take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John in the chapter number 4. Gospel of John, the chapter number 4. I want to begin our reading at the verse number 1. We'll read down to the verse number 26. The Gospel of John, the chapter 4. Beginning to read the verse number 1. And let us hear the word of the Lord. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, there is nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I give him shall never thirst again. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither cometh hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had 5 husbands. He whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that sayest thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, and ye shall neither worship, and ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. He is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee, he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile his disciples prayed, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest? Behold, I I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, already to harvest. He that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Herein is that saying true, one soweth, and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Amen. We trust that the Lord will bless reading his word to our hearts this morning. Naturally, within society, there are different classes of people, and those classes are commonly broken up into the upper class, who are considered to be wealthy, the middle class, who are not rich, but neither are they poor, and the lower class, who would be those who are classed as in poverty. Now, with these various classes come varying degrees of respect that would accompany them. Those in the upper class would be given a high respect and a high regard and would hold more prominent places within society. Those in the middle class are respected, but generally not as much. And then there are those in the lower class. And around the lower class, there is generally a lot of negative stigma that would surround them. And in our society, it often is that wealth determines what class you fall into. But tonight, I want to introduce us to a woman who was at the bottom of the social ladder. She wouldn't even be considered as one of the lower class in her days because she was even beneath that. You see, in her day, status was not determined by wealth. It was determined by worth. This woman, in the eyes of the Jews, and probably in the eyes of her own community, was a woman who was not held in a high regard, who was a woman who was considered of low value and of low worth. The Lord Jesus Christ, in verses 1 to 3, he is leaving Judea, which is a southern region in Israel, and he's heading north to Galilee. And in order for the Lord Jesus Christ to get from Judea and to get him to Galilee, he could have went there 3 different ways. He could have went west, around by the sea and up towards Galilee, or he could have went east over the Jordan and then up that way, or else he could have went straight through up the middle. But that would have meant that he would have had to have went through a region called Samaria. This was the quickest route to get there, but many of the Jews did not take that area or that pathway to get to the place of Galilee. And the reason why they didn't take that path was because of a group of people called the Samaritans that lived there. And the Jews had this stigma that they attached with the Samaritans because they were a group of people that were who were Jews who had married non-Jews, and they were really a mixed race. And they regarded these people as low value, as not much worth, as those who were unclean. And it was said of the Jews that the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. And so the Jews, whenever they would have traveled up to Galilee, would have either went west or they went east. Now tonight we're going to see how the Lord Jesus Christ completely broke this principle, and how he stumped all these unbiblical Jewish traditions. These traditions that had turned the children of Israel into Jonas, unwilling to go and evangelize their neighbors, the Samaritans. Tonight I want to consider with you the subject of the Savior the Samaritan woman. The Savior and the Samaritan woman. And there's 4 things about this story that I want to highlight to you this evening. The first one is found in the verses 4 to the verse number 9. I want you to notice within these verses we have a divine appointment. We have a divine appointment. As there is there in verse 4, and he must needs go through Samaria. He had to go through that region where the Samaritans were. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And then it goes on to tell us how there was a woman of Samaria who came out to gather water. And it's a very interesting, the Lord Jesus Christ said that he had to take this route. He couldn't have went west and he couldn't have went east. Even though you might have thought to yourself, well, this was the quickest route. Yet he wasn't going this route just because it was the quickest route. But rather he was taking this route because he had a divine appointment with a certain individual. Now you know that is what the very start of salvation is. Salvation always starts with a divine appointment. And you may be here tonight and you may think to yourself, well, I'm here by chance, or I'm here by my own decision. But let me remind you tonight that every single person here tonight, outside of Jesus Christ, is here because of a divine appointment. You're not here by chance. You're not here by luck. You're not even here by faith. But rather, you're here tonight because God planned for you to be here. God purposed for you to be here that you might hear the gospel message. And as the Lord Jesus Christ, he's sitting in this well, a woman comes to him. Now let's look and examine what type of woman this was. She wasn't just a Samaritan. She was even worse than that. And we notice here in verse number 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. And the first thing I want you to notice about this woman is that she is an immoral woman. Now the fact that she was an immoral woman, we understand that later on in the chapter, that she had five husbands, she was divorced five times, and now she was with a sixth man, and she wasn't even married to him. She was an immoral woman. But also we see how she was an immoral woman because she came to collect the water at this time of day. Now, those who would come and collect the water, normally around 6 o'clock in the evening, and they would do that because it would be cooler, and the heat wouldn't be as strenuous in the body. This woman comes at 12 midday. She comes at the hottest point of the day. She comes at the point of the day where she knows she's not going to have to bump into anybody. Perhaps the woman here knows what that's like. You perhaps would think to yourself, well, I don't want to go down to the supermarket and meet anybody I know. So you pick that time when you go down early in the morning or late in the evening. You know you're not going to meet anybody and get held back in your day. But this is exactly what this woman was doing. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he had planned to meet this woman. He had a purpose for her, and he even knew who she was. He knew she was a harlot. He knew that she committed adultery. He knew about her scandalous reputation. And yet he still had a purpose and a plan to meet her. She was an immoral woman, but she was also an ignorant woman. If you look with me there in verse number 20, read this verse, our fathers worship in this mountain. He say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Here she has a question about worship. Now there was two places. The Samaritans had their temple and the Jews had their temple. And she was asking the Lord Jesus Christ a question. Where must I go to worship? God has to be worshipped with a temple. Where must I go? Is it here? Is it there? And there we see her ignorance concerning the worship of God. There we see up until this point, she had never sought out for the truth. She had never sought after her own spiritual appetite, or her own spiritual need. She was ignorant of the truth of God. But she was also an indifferent woman. A moral woman, an ignorant woman, but also an indifferent woman. Not only did she not know the truth of God, but she didn't care about the truth. She didn't care. Now this woman, she would have followed it. Really a mixed religion. It would have been a religion that would have taken parts from Judaism and all other religions round about that area. And even within her own religion, it would have been taught that adultery was forbidden. That's why she was an outcast. That's why she was rejected by society. Because even in that pagan culture, there was an aspect that adultery was bad. Yet she didn't care. She didn't even care about her own religion. She was completely indifferent to spiritual matters. She didn't care that she was a lawbreaker. And I wonder tonight, as I have been describing this woman, am I describing an individual here tonight, whether a man or whether a woman? Am I describing someone here tonight? And if it was to be said about you, you would have to be honest and say, I'm immoral. If you were to be honest with your own heart tonight, you would have to say, I'm living as a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm guilty of breaking. strikes up a conversation with this woman. A conversation that would inevitably and eventually lead to her conversion. And this is something that, even for us Christians, gives a great example. That before someone would ever be converted, there must be a conversation. They must be told about the Lord. They must have truth. They must have knowledge. Knowledge is indispensable to salvation. An individual can't put faith in Christ if they don't know Christ. An individual can't be saved if they don't even know what it is to be saved. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, for us as His people, gives a pattern that we are to follow. We're to go and we're to share the gospel one-to-one, witness to individuals. And He says in verse 7, "Give me to drink." Now notice her response in verse 9. "Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." And in her response, she sought to bring up the sectarian divide that was between the Jews and the Samaritans. The Jews hated the Samaritans, and the Samaritans hated the Jews. And this woman thought to herself, why would this Jew have any dealings with me? Why would he talk to me? You could actually even understand that verse there in verse number 9. If literally rendered, it could say, you don't use the same utensils as us. The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. You don't use the same utensils as us. And that was a practice among the Jews. If the Samaritan had have picked up a spoon or have picked up a cup, the Jew would not have picked up that spoon after or picked up that cup, because they believed the cup or the spoon would have been unclean. That is how distant they were from the Samaritans. That is the low esteem they had of that people. Yet the Lord, He is asking this woman to have a drink from the very pitcher that she would have and use to drink herself. The Lord Jesus Christ continues the conversation in verse number 10. And it is through that divine appointment that He had with that woman that He then presents to the woman, secondly, the divine gift. There was a divine appointment, but now the divine gift in verses 10 to 15. And instead of getting bogged down into the issue of sectarianism, instead of getting bogged down into the issue of the day, why the Jews have separated themselves from the Samaritans, the Lord Jesus Christ gets right to the heart of the matter. And He presents to this woman the gift of God. If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, then thou wouldest have asked of him, he would have given thee living water. He asked her for a drink. She responded with divisiveness. But now the Lord Jesus Christ, He swings the conversation from the natural to the spiritual. And Christ tells this woman, she doesn't understand what He's asking for. And He doesn't understand, or she doesn't understand, what He can give her. She doesn't understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to give her living water. That water that represented eternal life. What was that gift? What was that gift that the Lord could give this woman? It was eternal life. It wasn't actual water. The water there is employed as a metaphor to help this woman understand spiritual truth. But in verse number 10, it's described as living water. In verse number 14, it's described as water that when we take of it, we will not thirst again. And in verse number 14, it tells us that it gives us everlasting life. And here we have a picture. The water is a picture of everlasting life. Because it's only when a sinner receives that eternal life that they'll truly be satisfied. That their spiritual hunger will be met. That they will be able to say, I have eternal life. That I will live forever. And that I will never thirst again. Where does the gift come from? Verse number 10. You notice the word gift there. It is the Greek word dorea. Dorea. And it means a free gift. A free gift. And the Lord Jesus Christ tells this woman, here is the gift of eternal life. And God is the one who is going to give this gift of eternal life to you. And it's free. It's completely free. 100% you can have it. It is yours. What does it go on to remind her? whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. He's pointing there to the natural water. Verse 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of living water, springing up into everlasting life. And in verse number 14, you can almost see the woman here walking away. She's beginning to walk away. And she turned around and she seemingly sarcastically says to this man, "Sir, give me this water." I don't believe she was genuinely asking the Lord for water. I believe she was using a bit of sarcasm. She was walking away. And this woman had walked out in the heat of the day. And she had to collect this water and carry it back. And she was, "Sir, I want that type of water that I can drink naturally once and never have natural thirst again, so I don't have to keep coming out to this well day in and day out." She still doesn't understand. She still doesn't know what the gift means. And she still doesn't know who the giver of this gift is. But Christ is now going to reveal himself to her. Christ is going to make it very plain to this woman what the gift is and who the giver is. But before he does this, something has to be dealt with. Before the Lord Jesus Christ reveals to her what the divine gift is, he first of all, and thirdly, gives her a divine rebuke. There was a divine appointment, there was a divine gift, but now the divine rebuke. In the verses 16 to 24, the Lord Jesus Christ begins to do something. He begins to uncover the sinfulness of this woman's heart. And before you will ever experience salvation, you must first of all realize your sin. Before you ever experience the joy, you must experience the crushing of your own heart under the weight and conviction of sin. Before you have that assurance of your sins forgiven, you have to know that you're a sinner, guilty before God. Some would paint the picture that the gospel is all about making you happy, that the gospel is all about making you glad. And in some regards, the gospel will make you happy and the gospel will make you glad. But sinner, tonight, if you are ever to know the joy of sins forgiven, you must know the pain of having to acknowledge you're a sinner before God, and that you're under his wrath, that you're under his judgment, that you're under his condemnation. You must realize your sin before you can ever receive salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ now begins to uncover her sin. And he asks her a question. He knows the reply. But he asks her a question anyway. He says, "Go call thy husband. Come hither. Go get your husband and come." And the woman, she's probably quite smart. She's probably been asked this question many a time. And so she has her designated response ready. She says, "I have no husband. I'm not married." And that was true what she was saying. At that time, she was not married, but yet she left out that part of information that said that she had been divorced 5 times. The Lord Jesus Christ goes on to show her how he has supernatural knowledge. He says, "For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that thou sayest truly." Then the woman said unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." You know, this woman, she knew the law of God. In the religion, in the pagan culture, the Samaritan still had the 10 commandments. And this woman knew she was a sinner. She knew she was a lawbreaker. She knew she was living in adultery. And Christ brings her sin out. And Christ confronts it in the open. And unless, sinner, tonight you open up your heart and you lay out your sin before the Lord, you'll never be converted. Unless tonight you're honest about your sin and honest about the condition of your heart, individual who professes the name of the Lord is living in sin. Nobody wants to conform. Let me say, such an attitude and such a lack of action is sin. It is not a loving thing to let someone carry on in a wicked lifestyle. It is not a loving act for someone to carry on living in their wickedness. But rather, the greatest and most loving thing that a brother or sister in Christ could do is to go to that individual and confront them. To confront their sin. Not hide it, not look over it, but to confront them. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he knows if this woman is to ever understand the gift, if she's ever to know who the giver is, she has to know that she's a sinner. And that's painful. That can be hurtful. But ultimately, it will lead a sinner to repentance. Christ confronts her sin. This woman couldn't hide it from God. She may have been able to hide from other women in the society, but she couldn't hide from the God who made her. And this rebukes help her to understand. It helps her to understand something. That this Jew who she was talking to was a prophet. She uses that word perceive. I perceive. That word perceive, it means to come to a knowledge of. She now had a knowledge that she was not talking to any ordinary man. She was talking to someone who was a prophet sent by God. And having realized he was a prophet, she now asks him that spiritual question that we mentioned earlier on in verse number 20. Where do I go to worship? Do I worship in this mountain with the Samaritans? Or do I worship over in this mountain in Jerusalem with the Jews? Where do I go to worship? And really effectively what she was asking, which religion do I follow? Which religion do I follow? Which way do I trust in order to have this eternal life? Do I go this way or do I go that way? And so oftentimes the question of the unbeliever is to ask the question, which church, which denomination, which preacher, which creed, which confession? And yet that is not the case. Christ you need. Tonight, dear unbeliever, I say to you, it is not church, it is not denomination, it is not creed, it is not confession, it is Christ that you need. It's Christ, and unless you get to him, you'll never receive the gift of eternal life. Unless you come to the only one who is the giver, you'll never know your sins forgiven. This partly was showing us something. She wanted to know where to worship. She did. She wanted to know where she was to go. And she knew that she had to bow down before God. She knew that only God could pardon and give her that eternal life. Yet the Lord goes on to say something even more profound. He gives her more revelation. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me. Believe me. You're looking for a sect to trust in and follow. You're looking for a temple. You're looking for a mountain. You're looking in what direction you're to pray to. And yet, woman, you're to believe me. Dear sinner, tonight, that is the gospel in two words. Believe me. Believe Jesus Christ. Believe in him. All that he teaches, all that he is, all who he came to be. Believe in Christ and you will receive. Lord Jesus Christ, however, was going to even take away her wrong concept. Notice what he says, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither worship in this mountain, nor yet at Jerusalem, worship the Father. And the Lord Jesus Christ was predicting here that both of these temples were going to be destroyed in AD 70. And the temple in Jerusalem in AD 70, and the temple for the Samaritans soon thereafter was going to be destroyed. And this woman wouldn't have any place to go and worship. And he points her to something that is true, that if you are to worship God who is a spirit, you must worship him in spirit and truth. You must come to him as you are. You must come to him as an individual person. This woman, she has understood the gift. She knows that the gift is eternal life. She has grasped that, but she still doesn't know who the giver of this gift is. And the Lord now is going to give her one final piece of divine revelation. Christ, when he come, he will tell us such things. You see, she still didn't know who truly Christ was. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the clearest declarations of who he is, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I am the Messiah. I am the one who you've been waiting for. I am the one who can tell you how to worship. I am the one who can give you the gift of eternal life. Christ, he presents to her. He is the giver. He can give the gift. This woman, she understands. But there's something more than just understanding. I believe this woman accepted it. I believe she accepted it. You see, the gift of eternal life changes an individual. And that woman, she left the Lord. She went into the city, and many of the city come out to hear, a clear evidential sign for salvation. Clear evidence that she had received eternal life. And the Lord Jesus Christ, through that revelation, he revealed himself to be the Messiah, the I Am. And tonight, dear unbeliever, that is who you must come to accept. Oh, there is the gift of eternal life, that pardon of sin, that life in eternal with God in heaven, but you also must embrace and accept the giver of that gift. You must accept the Lord. You must accept Christ. You know, there's one verse that I love, and it really is the summary of this whole entire story. It is that verse number 10, and with this I close. There was that divine appointment between God and the sinner. There is the divine gift that will be offered and can be received. There is there a divine, the Lord, who will deal with sin. There is the divine revelation of who Christ is. But tonight, if you want the gift, tonight, if you want your sins forgiven, listen to these words. It says in verse number 10, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, then thou wouldest have asked